This is Triad Arts Weekend. I'm David Ford. Composer Daniel C. Pappas is widely performed throughout the U.S. and Europe. His music runs the gamut: orchestral works, chamber music, solo and electro-acoustic music. He's been featured in new music festivals, won awards for several of his works, including his orchestral piece, The Silence About Heaven, which enjoyed a successful German premiere in 2006. Daniel's taught at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, Guilford Tech Community College, and the University of South Carolina, where he received an award for excellence in teaching undergrads. Daniel's also active as a contracted television composer for most all major networks, and his music regularly appears on shows like Good Morning America, World News with Diane Sawyer, and 2020. Lately, though, Daniel's strayed from his classical roots with dance tracks, indie pop, and music that falls in between the cracks. His latest collection of original compositions can be found on his new CD, Driving at Night, which includes electronic elements, along with fine acoustic performances by cellist Gina Pezzoli, oboist Thomas Pappas, that's Daniel's brother, and some nice violin lines contributed by the composer himself, Daniel Pappas. Why do you compose music?
That's a good question. I ask that myself when I look at my bank account sometimes. But I think when I first heard a piece of mine that I wrote, that was the moment when I realized there's nothing better than that moment when you experience it. And the first piece was really just a four-part chorale-style theory exercise in college. And hearing it back and realizing that I just created something that wasn't there before. I just expressed something new that nobody else had expressed yet. I teach I taught up until this past semester music theory at Guilford Tech Community College. And the students in my Theory 2 class, I'd make the final project a composition project. And so that was also the final exam. I watch their faces as they hear their pieces being played. And I can tell they're having that same experience that I've been having. And so I think that's one reason why I write. It's really just so self-satisfying.
You got an award for excellence in teaching undergrads at the University of South Carolina. Beyond sharing that oral experience with the student for the first time hearing his or her own work, what are some other teaching goals that you set up for yourself when you're reaching out to students?
When you have music majors or people that are interested in a music career, what's been really important to me is getting them to start thinking very early on about entrepreneurship. These days, if you want to be involved in the arts or if you want to be involved in, you know, even music technology, you're a self-starter. You control your own destiny and your own career.
Well, you're living proof of the importance of networking and having that business savvy or entrepreneurship savvy, referencing your television compositional career and having written for most major networks. How do you get into that business per se? And it's a very competitive business, a very competitive world. And what sorts of musical contributions have you made along those lines?
Yeah, when it comes to writing for TV, I think you have to have a connection. Cold calling is probably not going to get you very far. I happen to have a cousin of my father, so I guess it'd be my second cousin. He is a composer for the networks. He lives out in Hollywood, and he had a project he couldn't do. And although I was extremely busy, the one thing I did learn is you never say no. That's something I tell my students all the time. If you get an opportunity and you know that you could probably figure out how to do it, now don't say yes to something you have no idea how to do, but you say yes and you do it and you make it happen. And if that means you stay up for a week and you don't sleep, you do it. And I think that was my first job. And I literally stayed up all night for almost a week just trying to get my schoolwork done and writing this music. It was used for the royal wedding that was happening a couple years ago. Good Morning America needed music for all their little royal segments, and that's basically the music I started writing first.
How about that?
Yeah.
Necessity, the mother of invention.
That's right.
Yeah. How is it different, this use of your talent, your music, different, and what are some of the challenges you face beyond just having to get the job done in time?
Yeah, it's actually quite different. It's something that took me a while to pick up on. I think with my music, I tend not to front load. And by front load, I mean from the very moment it starts, it has to be extremely interesting. So TV music has to be front loaded. If you have something exciting, it all needs to happen in the first 5 to 10 seconds. Not because they just need that type of music, but they're only going to listen to the first 5 to 10 seconds. And if they aren't immediately struck by it, they don't want the music. Now, they do need more calm and subtle moments, but you're going to put those towards the back end. And that's exactly the opposite in the way I write my own music. So it took me a while to catch on to that. I kept getting it sent back for revision, and I couldn't figure out why, and that was why.
It's very very similar in good radio journalism. They you want to hear the bite early, the one that's the grabber. What would be one that you're particularly proud of, Daniel, in terms of writing for television?
One piece that I felt like I put a lot of work and effort into, it was a little segment about the plight of Native Americans on the reservations that was on the nightly news. The process of writing it was interesting. I wrote my first draft. I thought it was great. I thought it really expressed what they were after. I got a revision back saying that they want something completely different. I rewrote it. I sent it back. They said, okay. Then Diane Sawyer listened to it. She said she didn't like it. They played her the original one that I had done, and then that one was perfect. So, you know, there's too many ears, and you tend to rewrite things 10 times, and then they end up coming back to the first one. But that's just part of the business, and it's kind of fun.
So Driving at Night, quoting you here, a soundtrack to all the quiet thoughts that accompany the solitary driver with all of his or her hopes and fears. What was the composition process like for Driving at Night? What were some building blocks for these pieces?
I wanted to write music that was always the highlight moment. From start to finish, each movement was something that I enjoyed every single second of. I feel that certain composers sometimes fill the time, space, and I didn't want to do that with this music. So I really wanted it from the beginning of the piece to the end. I wanted it to capture the listener. I want the listener to kind of get lost. And the title came about, I was driving home from UNCG to my apartment every day late at night after long days of work. On those nights, that was the time for me to process the day. It was time for me to think about what was going to come the next day before I got home and just went straight to bed. So it was really the only free time that I had to kind of digest what had just happened and what was going on, my hopes, my fears. And I was in search of this new concert hall when I actually started writing the album. I was having a hard time getting my music performed. It didn't seem to really fit the concert hall quite as well. People weren't asking me to write this kind of music for them. I don't think many people have the patience to sit down and listen quietly to a piece of music that's longer than 2 minutes. And I thought, you know, where's the one place where people will not have anything else to do, where they just sit quietly? And I thought, you know, in your car, you're just there by yourself. There's nobody with you, and you're just listening to music, and you're letting it wash over you. And I felt like that'd be the perfect place to kind of catch people with it.
Well, from the very beginning, there's some really ethereal, atmospheric sounds. From the beginning of the tune, do you start then with a color or a backdrop of sound like that, or does the melody come first? Or talk me through the process on one of these
Yeah, that's
works.
A good question. I usually have a two-step process when I compose. The first is begrudgingly sit myself down and start working. I always happen to know when the idea that I have is good enough to carry an entire piece. And like you said, it can be a sound that I'm creating. So I feel like a sculptor, I'm sculpting the sound world. It could just be an interval or a particular rhythm. But while I work for hours and hours, and I don't stop until I hit that moment when I know, okay, this idea is good enough to carry a piece. And it's usually no longer than maybe 10 seconds of music, and then I stop. Because I know the next time I come back to it, I'm going to be sitting there and I'm not going to be able to tear myself away. So I'm going to start neglecting all the things that really need to happen.
I think one thing you do so well in this collection, again, we're talking about the CD Driving at Night. I'll look at the 6 a.m. track as an example of starting off in a place and really taking your time to get from point A to point B in a way that enables me as a listener to customize myself to the soundscape that's being created there. That takes some discipline, I imagine, because you've been living with these things for hours and hours.
One thing that I think I've always felt like set me apart as a composer, and it's something that I try to use to my advantage, is this idea of pacing, knowing how long something needs to go on for before I need to introduce something new. And then knowing when to stop. I sit there a lot and I listen over and over again. And I try to feel? Has it gone on long enough? Does it need a little bit more? Should I add something new? And just in the same way, instead of adding something, 6 a.m., for example, it starts not very front-loaded. The bass or the low end doesn't really come in until further into the piece. And that's something that, again, one of my instructors during my doctorate would always say, withholding something is just as powerful as adding something.
Now, a time that you're very familiar with, I'm sure, meeting deadlines in these compositions, 3 a.m. And should point out that the pieces begin with 11:55 p.m. and go through the wee hours of the morning and arrive at 6:01 a.m. when your alarm clock goes off, I imagine. But 3 a.m., and this features yourself performing on violin. Talk me through this work.
I wanted to have somebody else perform it, but I really just felt that nobody could quite play it the way I heard it in my mind, so I decided to go ahead and record it myself. Originally, the piece was actually supposed to be a funeral march that was written for piano and kind of organ sounds for a TV job. They didn't end up buying it, or they didn't need it. So then I had a grandmother pass away, and our family have 7 siblings, and we all play musical instruments, and we were going to perform a piece for the funeral, so I rewrote the piece for that occasion with a completely odd set of instruments, and I just never could quite let go of that music, and I decided to incorporate it into this album. I felt like it was a great kind of hearkening to the past, but kind of bringing it into the present.
Composer and violinist Daniel Pappas. His new CD is Driving at Night, and you'll find links at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. Well, that's all for today's show. You'll find archived episodes and podcasts at WFDD.org and click on Triad Arts Weekend. If you'd like to send us your suggestions, comments, or questions, you may do so at triadarts@wfu.edu. Our technical producer is Eddie Garcia. Our associate producer is Bethany Chafin. And I'm David Ford. Thanks for listening to Triad Arts Weekend.